Choose Life, Part 2, January 24th, 2013. When I awakened this morning, I was hearing the voice of God inside continuing to speak to me about choosing life. I realized that there was much more that I wanted to say on the subject. My first impulse was to toss what I had written yesterday and start over. I knew that would require lots of work on my part. Then I remembered that I am choosing life as I let God perform that which He has given me to do. For faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. I can open my mouth and let Him fill it, or in my case, open the computer and let Him write it, or I can attempt to do it myself and reap corruption as I realize that much study is a weariness of the flesh. Hence my decision to write this part two, leaving the first contemplation as it was given to me. I realized this morning that in that contemplation I hadn't even mentioned the many ways we can choose life when we are tempted to become worried or anxious about anything at all. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke much about taking no thought for provision, since our Father knows what we have need of even before we ask, and does not respond to long prayers, much speaking. And we learn from Isaiah that God has already answered our prayers even before we pray. Peter encourages us to cast all our care upon God, knowing that He cares for us, even, Jesus said, much more than we could ever care for our children. And Paul says it all, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, remembering that prayer is not begging and beseeching God to give what He has already given, but rather a recognition of our heritage as sons and daughters of God. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." When tempted to think otherwise, we are to be casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Simply put, when we keep our minds stayed on God, remembering His perfect love, thinking as Paul instructed us above, He keeps us in perfect peace because we have chosen life. Paul says it again in Romans, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." While it is true that we cannot change evil into good by thinking, we do use our minds to become aware of that good and acceptable and perfect will of God that is done in our earth as it already is in heaven, as we bring it into visibility by our recognition of it. This is letting the mind of Christ operate in us. On the other hand, if we allow our minds to just wander as they will take us where we don't want to go, to that horrible pit David talks about. That place of death, not life. The carnal mind, the spirit of the world, cannot do otherwise. It takes the spirit which is of God, the mind of Christ, to know the things which are freely given to us by God. I also want to discuss how we choose life by abstaining from judgment and condemnation. This is closely connected to renewing our minds, because that is where the carnal mind will always take us if we're not operating in the mind of Christ, which does not engage in that sort of thinking. Jesus said that the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And of course, the Son does only what He sees the Father doing. God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn us, but to save us, as Jesus demonstrated when He said to the woman caught in adultery, "Neither do I condemn thee." Jesus warns us, "Judge not, that you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven." And we would do well to heed that warning when we feel the urge to judge, condemn, and be unforgiving, resentful, and angry. Because as Jesus also said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Paul said it like this: "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Yes, whatever we give, be it criticism and condemnation, or gentleness and kindness, will come back to us, pressed down and shaken together and running over. If we really understood that we ourselves are determining how our world responds to us, we would never make the judgments that we do. We who call ourselves followers of Jesus are quick to condemn those who disagree with us doctrinally, politically, morally, socially. Then we wonder why others are so intolerant toward our views and behavior. I can think of no other area where we feel so justified in ignoring the warnings of Jesus. It has to be the area where we are most like the Pharisees in our feelings of self-righteousness. This doesn't mean that if we are following Jesus' admonitions, we will never suffer persecution. We can cite any number of biblical characters, including Jesus, Joseph, and Paul, who did. But there is a big difference between suffering affliction or persecution for the word's sake and reaping the corruption which comes from choosing death through our judgments and condemnation. When we have sown only to the Spirit, the persecution does us no harm. We can walk through the fire without being burned. All that is meant for evil works together for our good. When I stop to think about it, the entire Bible is a record of what it means to choose life. But I think we have enough here to meditate upon for a good while. If we can just learn to not be anxious about anything and give out only what we would like to have returned to us, we would be well on our way to experiencing God's life living us, because we have chosen life.